7. Matt moved awkwardly through the crawl space, climbing over the rows of wooden support beams. Up ahead, he could see the suspect kicking a small grill set low in a panel of drywall. He was attempting to escape into the air duct system. Although his full features were still shrouded in shadow, Matt could tell he was young by the way he moved. Not a teenager, but perhaps somewhere in his early 20s.
"Don't do it!" Matt yelled. "Drop the weapon and turn around!"
In a brazen move of defiance, the suspect spun around and fired off a rattle of shots at Matt. Matt ducked as a peppering of bullets cracked into a wooden beam above him. That's twice now this kid had fired at him and barely missed. It would not be a third time. Matt took aim with his sidearm and returned fire. Pop, pop, pop. Matt's rounds punched into the drywall, but the suspect had already managed to open the grill and disappear into the air duct.
Shit!
Matt fired another shot for good measure and continued his pursuit. When he reached the exposed duct, he could see from the flashlight beam of his sidearm that it sharply curved upwards, almost vertically. It was going to be a tight fit. Matt squeezed into the claustrophobic space and began to caterpillar crawl along on his stomach until he reached an intersection with a ledge that curved up into another connecting duct. There was enough room in this shaft for a low crouch. Using his upper body, he climbed into it and began to crouch walk along, the back of his ballistic vest scraping the ceiling, the thin metal booming and creasing around him. There was a maze in here. He passed smaller side ducts covered by grills and vertical shafts that dropped down into lower levels. It did not take long for the air in this new shaft to become less stale. Matt could also feel the soft kiss of a breeze against his face. He cleared a sharp corner, catching a shaft of sunlight washing the tunnel walls. He could also hear a loud, metallic banging up ahead. He knew exactly what that sound was. As Matt drew closer, he could see the suspect had kicked out another, much larger ventilation grill at the opposite end of the duct with the heel of his shoe. Metal creased as Matt stopped and took aim. The suspect heard the muffled boom of metal and spun around to see Matt aiming right at him. With the speed of a panther, he turned and leaped out of the open vent as Matt fired off a single shot. Pop! But again, he was too fast for Matt. The second the suspect vanished, sunlight flooded the tunnel, causing Matt to shield his eyes. He continued his pursuit and scurried to the end of the vent, the hot sun hitting his face like a brick. Wherever he had emerged, it was a long way from the farmhouse. The air duct was protruding from the base of a small mountain. Below the vent was a 10-foot drop into a dusty scrapyard. It was an ocean of used tires and rusted auto junk. There was a grimy trailer parked in one corner, with an old beat-to-shit Tesla coupe parked in front of it. Matt knew this yard was still part of the gang's territory. It was also possible the entrance to the storage facility below was somewhere here, too, most likely hidden in plain sight. Beyond the barbed wire fencing that surrounded the yard, he could see an open gate that connected to a narrow dirt road, which snaked alongside a column of dense scrub. Matt pivoted his body, dangling his legs out first, then leaped down into the yard, breaking his fall with a hard roll. He took in the dusty yard before him. There didn't seem to be a soul around, only a few faint dog barks punching through the silence. The suspect was nowhere to be seen. He had either jumped the barbed wire fence and continued his escape on foot, or he was holed up inside the trailer. Matt checked to see the car was empty, then slowly approached the trailer perched at the far corner of the yard, weaving between columns of old tires and engine parts. His eyes darted around the yard as he moved, the hairs on the back of his neck stiffening as he drew closer. Sidearm raised, he slowly reached for the trailer's door handle, twisted it, and pulled it open. From inside there was a quick flash of movement. Suddenly, a steel-colored pit bull launched out of the trailer like a hellfire missile. 60 pounds of muscle collided with Matt's ballistic vest, plowing him back across the yard into the dirt. His sidearm flew out of his grip, skittering across the dusty ground. No time to lunge for it, or correct the rifle strap now awkwardly twisted around his neck. Matt had no choice but to smash his gloved fist into the dog's snout. It didn't flinch a whisker. It was at that moment Matt caught fleeting glimpses of macabre augmentations protruding from its skull and neck. This thing wasn't entirely canine. It was a moody mutt, an unholy cross between a pit bull and the illegal black market tech that had been surgically affixed to the poor animal's body. Moody mutts were designed purely for the cruel purpose of underground dogfighting. Knowing this animal would not stop until one of them was dead, Matt had no choice but to grapple for the small tactical knife sheathed around his ankle, but holding the writhing dog at bay was like trying to fend off a wrecking ball made of steel and knotted muscle. It was impossible for Matt to hold it off with one arm, so with his free arm, he began to repeatedly slam his elbow hard into the side of the dog's head. After the third blow, it was visibly dazed. Then, with every ounce of strength Matt had left, he threw the crazed thing off him and scurried onto his feet, clearing some much-needed distance between them. This would give Matt enough time to recover the rifle strap twisted around his neck. At least in theory. Before Matt could react, it rushed him again with terrifying speed and leaped for his throat. Matt threw his arms out and caught the dog midair, his hands clamping around its thick, sinewy neck. The mutt's limbs flailed wildly, its razor-sharp paws clawing at Matt's stomach, its powerful jaws showering him with ropes of saliva, metal teeth gleaming, snapping like shark jaws inches from him. With a superhuman grunt, Matt hurled the squirming beast through the open trailer door and kicked it shut. There was a series of hard thumps as it rammed its bulk against the door, the trailer shaking with each blow. Matt staggered back, gasping for breath, his eyes wired with adrenaline.
Jesus. Well, ain't that some shit, said a husky voice behind him.
Matt wheeled around to see the suspect he had been chasing, a tall, rail-thin young man, his bare arms laced with raised scars and tattoos that looked like some weird mix of cyberpunk and Latino Catholicism, pointing Matt's felled sidearm directly at him, holding it sideways like a gangster. The young man's hard-etched complexion made it difficult to tell his exact age, but he was somewhere in the vicinity of 18 or 19. There was also a calculating menace that ticked behind his glare. His eyes stayed locked on Matt as he motioned for him to raise his hands. Matt could tell by the way the kid was dressed. He wasn't a branded member of Odin's Outlaws. He was an affiliate, a hired thug, either a fizz cook or a foot soldier, perhaps both.
Your rifle. Toss it to me.
Matt kept his hands up, palms out. Easy now. The suspect curled his lip and stiffened his aim.
I said your fucking rifle, I say, and don't try nothing or I'll blast your ass.
Matt slowly loosened the strap around his neck and slid the rifle across the ground to him. He then raised his hands again, sizing up his opponent.
Now what?
The suspect grinned. Eyes still on Matt, he knelt down, scooped up the rifle, and started backpedaling to the parked Tesla.
Now I book it out of here.
You really think you'll get far? There's going to be three separate police departments looking for you. You won't make 1 mile before a drone spots you and disables your vehicle.
Yeah, well, that's a risk I'm willing to take. Like I'm going to stay here when this whole place is going loco.
Matt began to inch closer, hands still raised.
You noticed it too, huh?
The suspect blinked. There was a slight falter in his expression. Matt could see the kid understood exactly what he was referring to.
And here I was thinking it was just me. All those dogs barking and going crazy, he said, nodding to the trailer behind him where the pit could be heard pacing behind the door growling, its steel nails clicking on the linoleum floor. Then there's the weird feeling in the air like static.
When Matt took another step forward, the suspect stiffened his aim again.
Stop moving, man. Just stay the fuck back.
Suddenly a black KDCI police helicopter blasted over the yard, swooping down low and then arching back up into the air in a steep climb. The sleek, aggressive design of the chopper looked as if someone had successfully mated a Black Hawk with an SR-71 Blackbird. Matt's first thought was that some backup had finally arrived, and perhaps the pilot was searching for his location.
but his relief evaporated instantly when he saw how erratically the chopper was flying. It seemed like it was frantically trying to escape something. Something unseen. Matt's eyes darted to the suspect. His eyes were tracking the police chopper overhead that was about to disappear over the horizon. Matt had about a second to act, so he rushed the suspect head-on like a freight train. The suspect heard boots crunching dirt, spun his head around, and fired a shot. The round whizzed over Matt's right shoulder and punched into the dirt as he tackled the suspect by the waist, pulverizing him into the side of the car with the force of a sledgehammer. The suspect gasped as the back of his head cracked against the passenger side window, the glass spiderwebbing from the impact. The rifle also spun out from his hand as Matt wrangled with the other hand that was wielding the sidearm. When the suspect pulled the trigger again, Matt drove his fist into the kid's nose and began repeatedly smashing his gun hand against the edge of the car's hood until his grip on the weapon began to loosen. Ears still ringing from the gunshot, Matt pried the weapon free and pistol-whipped the suspect across the jaw. He collapsed onto his ass, back slumped against the car, gasping for air, blood smeared across his mouth. Matt then spun the suspect around and yanked out the gold-plated 9mm Luger that was shoved down the back of his jeans. He then rose to his feet and backed away, chest heaving while he sucked down some much-needed air. He scooped his rifle up off the ground while keeping his newly retrieved sidearm trained on the battered suspect. "How old are you, kid? 18? 19? He said, slinging his rifle strap around his vest. The suspect spat a clump of blood onto the dirt, refusing to look up at Matt. "The fuck you care?" he snarled, wiping blood from his chin with his forearm. "I care because I've never seen anyone with such a death wish at your age. You think shooting at a cop is going to get you some kind of promotion with those bikers? You don't know what it gets me." "Yeah, actually I do. It gets you dead. You're nothing but a useful idiot to them." Matt turned and tossed the gold-plated pistol over the fence into a thicket of scrub. "The fuck, man? You just threw away my 9. "It's okay, you won't be needing it anymore." "Oh, so you're one of them corrupt motherfuckers trying to erase evidence and shit." "I'm not erasing anything. I'm just parking it aside until one of our drones can locate it later on." Matt unclipped a pair of Ziploc cuffs from his duty belt and threw them down in front of the suspect. "However, in the meantime, I'll let you do the honors." The suspect eyed them incredulously, then lifted his head to Matt. "I ain't putting those on, man." "Yeah, I'm betting you will." "Nah, I'm betting I won't." Pop, pop, pop. Matt started unloading rounds next to the suspect. Geysers of dirt spewed into his face, the suspect jolting from each shot, like the ground underneath his ass had suddenly become electrified. "Last chance. Otherwise I put a round in your leg and leave you out here with your muty friend."
Okay, just chill."
The suspect winced as he reached for the cuffs and looped them around his wrists.
"What is it with you cops, man? Y'all tripping?"
The cuffs automatically tightened, snapping into place with a plastic-sounding click.
"Up."
Matt waved his gun, motioning for the suspect to stand.
"Slowly."
He did. Slowly. Weapon still aimed, Matt moved in behind him and opened the driver's side door.
"Get in."
The suspect turned and gave Matt another incredulous look.
"I'm handcuffed."
"This car has autonomous hands-free. You could drive it blindfolded. Get in." The suspect turned and snickered, climbing into the driver's seat as Matt got into the passenger seat behind him.
"But I got no key."
Matt leaned forward and pressed the muzzle of his gun firmly against the suspect's arm. "I heard you in that office back there. You were getting ready to ditch this yard. Something tells me you weren't planning on walking." The suspect breathed a sigh of defeat and shook his head. He then reached into his jeans pocket and pulled out a set of plastic keys that looked like flash drives. He found the right one, inserted it into a small USB-type hub on the dashboard, and pressed the ignition button. The car made an electric-sounding splutter and roared to life, the dashboard lighting up with an array of information, such as weather forecast, current temperature, traffic conditions, and battery charge. Matt leaned back in his seat.
"What's your name?"
"Jake."
"What's your real name?"
The suspect hesitated before answering. Joel, I want you to understand something right off the bat, Joel. When I ask you a question, you answer me truthfully. Try bullshitting me, and this is going to be a really long and uncomfortable ride for you. Joel eyed Matt in the rearview mirror.
So where am I going, then?
Just drive towards Frankfurt. Joel backed the car up and crawled out of the yard, turning onto the narrow dirt road, heading away from the farmhouse property.